Reinventing yourself is a wonderful way to move toward wealth faster. I recommend reinventing yourself. I recommend reinventing yourself every day, if you can. It's a wonderful experience. All it really means is continuous growth and spiritual evolution toward your highest self, toward the best and most productive you can be. Also, the most relaxed you can be simultaneously. So we're really not talking about high energy that's frantic and stressful. We're talking about a flow of high energy that comes from a relaxed state. And this occurs when you reinvent yourself in the way I'm talking about. So for years, I've given seminars on reinventing yourself. They were originally conceived to help groups that were having morale problems. I was in a company that taught various seminars on time management and goal achievement, etc. And a very large Fortune 500 company came to us one day and talked about a severe morale problem they were having in their factories on the assembly line. And that employees were really feeling bad about the company and it was affecting production and affecting everything. And did we have a course that might address that? That we could take into the organization and teach people. Well, we created a course right on the spot and did a pilot presentation, and it later grew into Reinventing Yourself. So I wrote the book Reinventing Yourself based on the course, based on my life, based on what works. Reinventing yourself is a wonderful thing to do if you're interested in creating more wealth in your life. It is a great place to start because obviously the wealth you now have is based on the personality you believe yourself to be so far. It's who you are, your ability to earn money and serve people and create great ideas that fill your bank account. It's who you are so far. Now, if I'm going to expand that and increase my bank account, then what I want to do is reinvent myself so that I'm a more resourceful, imaginative, energetic person, and I'm serving more people than I was. Or serving the same amount of people, but serving them in more profound ways. Either way will affect my wealth. So let's talk about reinventing yourself. In reinventing yourself, you want to be able to do things at the level of choice. At the level of actions that you choose to take, beliefs that you choose to believe, relationships that you choose to create, products and services you choose to offer. So this is a level called choice. And we're now going to talk about various choices. And there's always a fundamental choice. The fundamental choice, the way I've seen it over the years with clients and myself, is between two very different mindsets, very different energy levels. Now, the weak choice, the one that leads to less money being made, less wealth being created, less happiness, less fulfillment, this choice I call victim. This is a victim mindset. I'm a victim of circumstance. I'm a victim of powers way beyond my control. I'm a victim of my own past. I'm a victim of not having been educated properly. I'm a victim of not having been raised right. I'm a victim of my race. I'm a victim of my gender. I'm a victim of all kinds of things. Now, this victim position is very weak. It's a kind of surrender to life, and it has all power being outside of me. This position is not a very good position to create wealth from. Because creating wealth requires a certain amount of swagger. It requires a certain amount of energy and lighthearted creativity and willingness to serve and strength. So victim mindset is not functional if I'm going to set out to create more wealth in my life. Victim mindset is something I want to be able to identify too. I want to know when I'm in the victim mindset. I don't want to just operate from victim without knowing what I'm doing and just wondering at the end of every day why my life is not getting better, What's wrong? What kind of outside circumstances are preventing me from life not getting better? It becomes a negative feedback loop, and I begin to spiral downward, down the drain. That's the victim mindset. That's one choice. In every circumstance, I have a choice to approach the circumstance or the situation with a victim mindset, which is very weak, unresourceful, and unimaginative. Very few problems get solved from a victim mindset. It becomes obvious why. Your mood is low. Your energy is low. You don't even want to think about it. How can you solve something that you don't even want to think about? Now that's victim. On the other side of the coin, and actually I remember in some of our seminars, we actually had these coins made for people, and some of them carried them for years. I mean, 10 years later, they would come back and show me their coin with V on one side, and the other side has an O. And that stands for owner. That means I own my own spirit. I take full ownership of my energy and my life. I take full responsibility for my happiness. That's owner. So you have two fundamental choices. I can own my response to the situation, and that's ownership, or I can be a victim of the situation, and that's victim. Ownership means the power is in me, and I live my life from the inside out. Victim, on the other hand, means all power is outside of me, and my life is lived from the outside in. I just wake up and see what's going to happen to me. I wake up, and in my mind, if I'm in victim, I begin to wonder what I dread. What do I dread today? What do I hope doesn't happen? And that's kind of my negative to-do list. Things to avoid. Things you hope won't happen today. People live this way, and it is the primary reason they're not happy and they're not wealthy, because they live from a victim mindset. On the other side is the ownership mindset. I take full responsibility for my happiness in life. I take full responsibility for the wealth I have, what's in my bank account, the money I'm making every month. How much do I make every month? I take full responsibility for that. That's a beautiful thing, because if I'm going to start from there, ownership, owner, I own it, then I have real power to change it if I want to. I become the cause in life instead of the effect of life. It's a good place to start from, and it's a good place to be. So those are the fundamental choices I have in any situation. Is I'm going to be a victim of this, or I'm going to take ownership of how I respond to it. So victim, owner, fundamental choice in all of life. Now, it all sounds great. It sounds very logical that the more I come from the owner mindset, the better my life will be, the more wealth I'll produce, and the more I come from the victim mindset, the worse my life is going to get. Now here comes the question. How do I create a sense of ownership on the spot at the beginning of each day? In every situation, if I can. Or let's just start with most situations. Because most people are coming from a victim mindset. Why is that? Is there something wrong with them? No. That's simply the default position of the brain. Just like a garden, the default position of a garden is weeds and dead flowers, and it looks terrible. I mean, that's what happens to a garden if you leave it alone. That's where it goes by itself. Same with the brain and the mind. If you leave it alone, and you just wake up and enter the world and look around you for what you fear, the mind goes to weed and dead flowers. And your life becomes a real struggle. It's like survival. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know how to get through the day. My life isn't working. And so that's the basic belief or the basic result in the victim mindset. My life isn't working. So this garden called the mind How do I have it become an ownership garden instead of a victim garden? Well, the same with a garden in your backyard. You water it, you put sunshine on it, you cultivate the ground, the soil, you take care of it. And the more attention you give it, and the more you nurture it, and the more you feed it, the more it grows and it becomes beautiful. So, same is true with the mind. And what do we grow the mind with? Well, it's words and phrases and thoughts. Words, phrases, and thoughts. So let's look at what words, what thoughts, what phrases produce ownership, and what words produce victim mindset. Now, this is reciprocal causation. It not only produces a victim mindset, to use certain words, but it's also a reflection of the victim mindset. So, for example, if you were to interview some people, you could tell after a while which person was in a victim mindset and which person was in an ownership mindset, because the words reflect the mindset. But the words also create the mindset while they're reflecting. It's reciprocal causation. They create and reflect. So, let's begin with the first group of words. What does the victim say? What words are victim words? Well, here's a thought, here's a phrase. Victims say, "I will try." They use the word try a lot. But notice something about the word try. You ask me if I can get you the report by Friday, and I say, "I'll try." All that really means is don't count on it. That just means don't count on it. So, I'm in a victim position. You've asked me to do something, and I've told you I cannot tell you whether or not I will do it. I don't have that kind of power to tell you whether I'll do it or not. And that's victim. Now, what does the owner say? The owner says, instead of "I will try," the owner says, "Count on it. You can count on it by Friday." Or the owner says, "I can't promise it Friday, I can promise it Monday. It may come Friday, but I can promise it Monday." Now that's ownership. That's precise. That's something the listener can take to the bank. Let's look at another set of words. What does the victim say? Something comes up and he says, "Wow, this is so big. This is huge. This will take forever to do." And it can be anything. It can be cleaning the backyard. It can be revitalizing a relationship. It can be a job to do. "This is so big," is the victim mindset. The owner mindset immediately breaks it down to first action. The owner says, "I'll take the first small action on this tomorrow at 9 a.m. So immediately, the owner is in action with the project on this situation, and the victim continues to say, day after day, "This is so big." Now let's look at the owner's side first on this one. Something comes up, and the owner asks, "What can I do?" Given this situation, what can I do? A difficult situation, a problem, a challenge. What can I do? Let's look at the victim language. The same problem comes up, the same challenge, and the victim says, "Who can I blame? Who's responsible for this? If it weren't for this person, this wouldn't be happening." So the victim is always looking for, "Who can I blame?" Let's say my child gets really bad grades in a class. Quickly, who can I blame? "Why, it's my spouse. Whenever my child goes to visit my spouse, he never does his homework. That's why." "Oh, it's the teacher. This is a terrible teacher. The teacher does not communicate well. The teacher has bad chemistry. The teacher has it in for my child." "Oh, it's my child. I want to blame my child. My child's lazy. My child never follows through." So there's blame, blame, blame whenever there's a problem. It's the first place the victim mind goes. Who can I blame? The ownership mind? What can I do? It's all there in language. It's created with language. In other words, I can practice this. Let's say something comes up and I'm determined to create ownership in my world, which leads to wealth. And so I say, what can I do? I practice asking myself, what can I do? What's the next small step? And with practice, it becomes natural. Notice how a person who's always asking, what can I do, is going to solve problems, move things along, and obviously become more prosperous and more effective at anything that person is doing that creates wealth. That's an effective person. Instead of who can I blame is going to lead to an emotional bloodbath, an emotional disaster. That person will not be effective. This is at the heart and soul of making money. An effective person and an ineffective person. It starts with mindset. Now notice inside an organization that there's a very key word used by victims in that organization. And you can track the salaries, the income of victims versus owners and see a very big difference financially, monetarily, between the two mindsets. That's why the mindset is so important to learn. That's why this is vital. If I want to create more money in my life, I want to start right here. So inside a group or an organization, you will hear a victim say the word they all the time. They don't let us take breaks and they don't really let us talk to the client, or they don't let us, they. They want us to go on a trip now. They. The whole thing is they. As if there were some evil opposing force called the company or the administration or management or somebody that's against me. There's an evil force that's against me and I'll call them they. And you hear victims say they all day long. Now, inside that same organization, you're going to hear owners speak differently. They will say, we take our breaks at 3 right now. We have a new project. We're working with clients in Cleveland right now. It's always we. It's a team. We're all together. It doesn't mean that I approve of everything management's doing or I would do it the way management does it. That's a different subject. It means I am on this team. I take full responsibility for being a part of this team. I come to work because I choose to. I don't have to. And that's a fundamental thing here. Now, a lot of people live in this world thinking they have to do the things they're doing during the day. And this produces a victim mindset to believe this. They say, I have to go to work today. Well, they don't have to, not really. But to believe you have to is to put yourself in a victim position. To know the truth that you choose to returns power to you. And when power is returned to you, you come from a stronger place. It's funny how children are pretty natural owners of their own spirit. They understand ownership. They are centered inside themselves. And so when an adult tells a child, I have to go to work, the child is confused because the child knows that that's not really true. You don't have to go to work. You're choosing to go to work. So let's say the child says, Daddy, will you stay home and play with me? No. Sorry, Tiger. I have to go to work. The child's thinking, you don't have to go to work. I heard you talking to Mommy maybe last week. And you were saying to Mommy, I don't have to go to work. I can stay home and help you. You're sick. Stay in bed. I don't have to go to work. I've got 3 weeks of vacation coming to me. I can take a day off anytime I want. The child overheard this. So the child knows father doesn't have to go to work. So why is the father saying I have to go to work? Because that's what the father believes. The father's not really lying to the child, not consciously, because the father has set up a series of negative beliefs that put him in a victim position in life, including I have to go to work. Victim. no energy, no imagination. See, that's the consequence. Otherwise, it'd be just perfectly fine to use victim language all day. Everybody does it. We stand around the coffee machine, and I tell my victim story, you tell yours. It goes on all the time. It's a way of bonding. It's a social convention. It's a tradition. So what's wrong with it? Why oppose it? Why are you so against victim language? Well, the reason is, I want to create some wealth in my life. That's why I'm against it. And I'm not going to if I come from victim. Because victim language produces victim mindset. And victim mindset produces bad mood, low energy, no imagination, no vitality, no real dancing spirit here. I'm just kind of slogging through my day trying to get through it. I'm a victim. And from the victim mindset, I don't create. I don't create. And creation is one of the keys to wealth, obviously. So there's severe consequences for not knowing owner-victim. Severe. You live your life in the dark, sleepwalking, unconsciously coming from victim in every situation and wondering why life is not working for you. Mystified, confused, not necessary. So, owner language, let's say something occurs, it's either neutral or negative, and the owner might say, how can I use this? How can I use this? The victim, why does this always happen? Why does this always happen? The owner, how can I use this? The victim, why does this always happen to me? I can't believe it. I can't understand it. I had a woman tell me that she had married 4 straight alcoholic husbands. Wow, consider the odds. Don't go to Vegas. You are very unlucky, ma'am. Why does this always happen to me? I don't get it. I'm confused. How can I use this? Versus, why does this always happen? Victim language. I should. I should. I suppose I should. Now, this whole matter of should means that there's some jury always judging you on what you should or should not do. I should exercise more. I should do these things first thing in the day, I suppose. Everything with the word should in it robs me of energy. Just listen to people's voices when they use the word should. So the human voice is a great indicator. It's like a musical instrument. Children can watch a foreign language movie where they don't understand the language, and they can tell you which character is upset, which character is angry, which character is out of energy and worn out, which character is full of energy and happy, all by the voice tones. Voice tones. So listen now in the next 2 or 3 weeks when you're out in the world. Whenever you hear someone use the word should, listen for the voice tone. Listen to it. Do you exercise regularly? I should. Do you visit your child frequently and stay? I should. You know, I should do more of that. Every time the word should is used, you hear energy leaking out of the body. Always the voice tones. The musical tone goes down. I should. Goes down. Lower vibration at the end of the word. You'll never hear anyone say, I should. I should. You've never heard that. Because by the time the word hits the brain, it crashes the system. By the time the word is in the brain and now going to your vocal cords to be expressed, your system's already crashed from that word. That's the consequence of victim language. Right there. Should. Should is a very demotivating word. It reduces motivation every time you tell yourself you should do it. So what does the owner say? What would the owner say instead of I should? The owner says, I want to. I choose to. I will. Those words. Those are the words of power. Those are the words of ownership of the human spirit. I own my energy. I take full responsibility for my energy levels and my happiness in life. I want to start an exercise program. I'm choosing to join the gym and go there 3 times a week. I will go there 3 times a week instead of, I guess I should, I ought to, I'm obligated to. There's no real power in should. There's huge power in the language of intention. I want to, I choose to, I will. If I'm going to find the best job for myself, the one that pays me well, if I'm going to take the job I have and increase the wealth that's coming into this job, I must start from the position of ownership. I must have a relationship to my own life that takes ownership for what I create. I can't do this from a victim position. I've never seen it happen. I must begin with ownership. So let's look at the next word. The word is life. Notice how a victim always talks about life in a negative sense, like life is difficult, life is unfair. Whereas an owner talks about life as if life were a gift or an energy source on the inside of the owner. I'm going to use this that I have inside me for something. Whereas the victim talks about life as if life uses me. The victim refers to life as if life is an outside force pushing in on me. Something goes wrong, the victim says, that's life. The owner, on the other hand, says, I use life. I wake up, I find it inside me. What am I going to use it for? So I have a full day of energy to be used ahead of me. What will I use this energy for? This is the day that I was born into. How will I make today my masterpiece? How will I create greater wealth today with my imagination and my energy and my willingness to serve others? Now that inquiry actually leads to wealth, whereas the victim's view on life is life is unfair, life is difficult, what's going to happen to me today, and how do I survive that? Obviously, no wealth will be created from that position. How can it? Let's look at the next phrase. The owner talks about getting something from something. So, I lose a sale. Something goes wrong. If I'm an owner, I ask, what can I learn from that? What can I take from that? How can I grow from that? And the owner will use past experience as something to grow from, learn from. It's not seen as a fresh new opportunity to feel shame or like I did it wrong, why do I always do it wrong? That's the victim position. The owner will say about a negative event or something that didn't go right, the owner will say, that's interesting, that's fascinating. What can I learn? What can I see? It's just like a team that watches game film from the previous week. We lost the football game, but what can we learn from the film? We're going to be better next week from what we see. We make enough corrections and we'll be winners. We have to be. So it's game film. It's not, oh, I'm so ashamed of myself. I did it wrong. I never do it right. I never make a sale. I always lose the sale. That's why I don't make any money. No, no, no. From this sale that was lost, I learned to make the next sale. I'm happy about this lost sale because I'm going to get from. Now, what does the victim say? Well, we heard a few things, but the victim also says get through. When you hear the victim, not talking about what they can get from something, they're talking about how to get through something. How do I get through this? Oh boy, this is hard. I have to do this. I don't like it. I'll get through. I'm trying to get through this period of our lives. It's summertime. Things are slow. We're trying to get through the summer. All this get through is producing the victim mindset. It's not really a reflection of outside circumstance like the victim believes it is. Now, here's a key point. The victim believes that all this victim language is simply the truth about life. It's not really chosen victim language. It's the truth about life. And that's why the victim is trapped in this forever, until they can see, until somebody comes along and teaches them. There's owner language, there's victim language. You're using victim language, and it's producing low energy, bad morale, and very little income in your world. It's your language. It's the words you're using to think with. It's the thoughts you are believing that's producing this. It's not circumstance. Wake up. Okay, let's look at another word that's very, very important. It's the word commitment. Now, the owner sees a commitment as a choice, a decision. I've made a commitment to her. That's a decision. And I've made a commitment to work out. That's a decision. I made a commitment to double my income this year. Commitment to myself. That's a decision. It's a choice. These are things I create out of my choice-making ability. That's what commitment is. I make the commitments. I build them. I create them. I state them. They come from me. Now, the victim does not believe this. And the victim does not think this way. You can tell by the language of the victim that the victim believes commitment is a feeling. It's not a promise. It's nothing I can choose. It's nothing I can create. It's nothing I can use to accomplish things, which is what the owner is doing. The owner is choosing various commitments to accomplish things that lead to wealth and money. The victim believes that commitments are feelings. How do you work with that? It's just something I feel. So, therefore, the victim says things like, you know what, I'm not feeling as committed to my job as I once felt. I'm not feeling the same commitment to my spouse. Too bad. Great gal. I just don't feel the same commitment. I'm not feeling the commitment to my career I once felt. Notice how the victim talks. Commitment to a victim is something that's felt, something that pushes in on the body, something that emerges and the body feels it or doesn't. But there's no ownership here. There's no creative control of a commitment in the victim's mind. Therefore, the victim cannot use commitments to create greater career movement, to create more customers, more clients. They cannot use commitment. And commitment's such a powerful tool. Lost to the victim. Okay. Ownership language. I don't need a reason to be happy. I don't need a reason to be happy. In other words, happiness is something I generate for myself. And I notice when I'm happy. If I'm really lost in a job I'm loving to do, I'm happy. I notice. Therefore, I generate happiness by getting really engaged in my work. When I'm really connecting with certain family members and enjoying their presence and listening to them and compassionate, I'm happy. Therefore, I create my happiness by connecting to these people. Whereas the victim is saying, other things make me happy. Well, if I win the lottery, it'll make me happy. And if this family member comes over and brings me a birthday present, that will make me happy. That's a reason to be happy. The victim needs a reason to be happy, an outside reason to be happy. The owner needs no reason to be happy. The owner says, I don't need a reason to be happy. I create happiness or I don't. The victim? Yeah, I need a reason to be happy. If I have no reason to be happy, how can I be happy? So, it's so important to have ownership language in my life. It's so important to see the power of it and to practice it. It comes from practice. This whole owner-victim thing behaves exactly like a language, because it is a language. Compare it to learning a language. Let's say you're learning Russian. I learned Russian when I was in the Monterey School for Defense Language Teaching years ago, And we immersed ourselves, those of us in the military in that language school, we immersed ourselves in Russian. We had Russian teachers who spoke only Russian. We spoke Russian all day in the classroom and had 4 hours of homework at night where we were writing Russian and speaking Russian into a tape recorder. And so we immersed ourselves in the Russian language. And after a few months of this, we were dreaming in Russian. And we were thinking in Russian because of practicing Russian. Now, the same thing happens with someone who switches from victim to owner. The same exact immersion can occur in a person's life. And I see it over and over. A great coach will put you right there, will not allow victim language to be your way of life because you're not going to achieve anything. And this is the heart and soul. It starts right here with the fundamental choice. Will I take ownership of my own spirit, or will I be a victim of circumstance? It's a choice.